Well, y'all bear with me. Let me get plugged up here. First Timothy chapter number 1. Levi, I'm going to say the same thing to you I've said to every preacher boy that's went out of here. I'll probably say it just a little bit differently this time, though. We had those bookmarkers made for you. My mother did that for me when I was ordained, and we thought it'd be good. And I put this verse on that Bible bookmarker, 1 Timothy chapter number 1, and verse number 12. Paul said, "And I thank Christ Jesus our Lord, who hath enabled me, for that he counted me faithful, putting me into the ministry." Levi, one of the greatest honors God can bestow on a man is calling him to carry his word and to love and care for his people. People he bled and died for, God's placed in your care. I think it's one of the greatest responsibilities in the world is to be that of a pastor and to lead people and make decisions in people's lives when they're trusting you for that wisdom to know. You talked about how Jesus has that wisdom this morning. You lean on Him, son. I want to charge you just for a few minutes in three simple little areas that I've learned over 22 years and pastoring this church, and I'm sure some of these great men sitting behind me could tell you the same thing. Number one, Levi, I want to say to you tonight, you love your wife. You love your wife. She comes before anyone except your God. You understand that? Before your brother Doug's pastor, you're Cora's husband. Before your brother Frank's pastor, you're Mason's dad. People ask us all the time, how did the kids turn out? I think one reason is our family wasn't pushed to the side. Our family time and our family together, it was very important. I guarded my home. Don't let people bring a bunch of junk in your home. I don't care who they are. Don't let them bring a whole bunch of stuff in your home. You say, I'll meet you at the church. Amen. Your kid ought to grow up thinking church is a good thing and church is a fun place and church is a great time. But sometimes church is hard, just to be honest with you. But you always love your wife. Jesus said in Ephesians, husbands, love your wife even as Christ loved the church and gave himself for it. I want you to love the church, but that's more Jesus' job than it is yours. He said, as Christ loved the church and gave himself for it. There'll be days you're going to have to sacrifice. And Cora, there's going to be days you're going to have to sacrifice. Probably the hardest job of any wife in the world is that of being a pastor's wife. Because you see people at their worst. And then you've got to love them and minister to them anyway. And I want you to stay faithful to your husband. I mean, I want y'all to vow today before we walk out of this room, nothing is going to come between my marriage. Nothing is going to bust up my home. But you're going to have to make a clear decision of that now. You can set some things in order, some boundaries. Don't you ever let me find out you was in your office alone with another woman. You ever? You've heard that all your life. You've heard everything you need to know all your life. Don't you ever go in there and shut that door with another woman. I don't care if she's 120. Don't do it. Are you listening? Don't you ever go knock on the door and say, "Is brother so-and-so here?" No, he'll be back in a few minutes. Come on in. No, you wait in the car. Set some guardrails up over your life. And Cora, set some guardrails up over your life. Levi's going to Rockmart. To pastor these precious, precious people. And I want to tell you what your ministry is. It's my boy. You're there to help him to be what he is. Do you understand if he don't have the encouragement of his wife, there'll be days he'll quit if it wasn't for you. There'll be days he'd have thrown in the towel and said, "I give up." But God gave him a helpmeet suitable for him. There's been days Angie said, "Honey, you got to get up and go to church." I said, "Why?" She said, "You're the pastor." I've resigned the church 1,000 times and just had never told nobody. Then there's days you think, "Oh, right now, honeymoon. Oh, yeah, honeymoon." They'll clap for you when you preach, son. Well, wait about 20 years. when they've heard all your stories, when they know you as well as you know yourself. Yeah. Set some barriers in your life. Be careful. Stay clean. Stay clean, stay true, and stay faithful to one another. Listen, without her, you don't have a ministry. I can't iterate this enough. Without her, do me a favor. Love her and treat her like I have your mama. I mean that with all my heart. Love him like she loves me. That's no matter what. You be there for each other. There's going to be days you're going to hear him weep, and it's going to break your heart. I doubt any of these guys will do it, because they love him to death. But there'll be somebody come in there that don't love him. There'll be somebody come there that want to destroy him, want to hurt him. On those days when you want to get mad and you want to go kill somebody, you're going to have to hold him up. Amen. Levi, love your wife, son. Love your wife. Secondly, love the Word. Love that book right there. Love it with all your heart. This Bible I got the week after I started pastoring Happy Valley Baptist Church 22 years ago. We're going to give you an ordination Bible in a minute. I want you to take this. Oh. And I want you to love that book above all. Oh. I don't care if the richest man in 10 counties comes in that church. You change that word for no one. You understand that, Calvary? We're talking about the King James Bible now. That's the way he's been raised. That's the way he's been taught. And we believe it. We believe every word of it. Well, I guess I can't read no more scripture. I gave you my Bible. Love his word. Preach the word. I asked my pastor when the Lord called me to preach. I said, "Brother Earl, what'd I do?" He said, "Just grab that old book and preach, son." I thought he might give me some advice or how to. You know what he said? And that's been my catchphrase ever since God called me to preach. He said, "Just let her rip, Doc." That's what he said. You read the tag on the back of my truck right there. It says, "Let her rip." That's just been my motto. Hey, grab that Bible and preach the book. Forget about the lifestyle evangelism. Forget about trying to build a biker ministry or this kind of thing. Preach that book right there. Do like you did this morning. Don't ever back up from that old-fashioned gun barrel straight King James Bible preaching. You know what Rock Mart did? They don't need a rock band. They don't need a rock band. They need a preacher with his hair on fire. They need a preacher with a fire burning down in his heart and a love for God and a love for God's people and a love for that book right there. People will come into your church and say, "Oh, what's wrong with this?" You better know what's wrong with theirs. Be prepared to stand up for that book right there. I believe the day's coming, and I believe your generation's going to see where we may have to really fight over it. We may have to really fight over it before this thing's said and done, Brother Eric. I don't know. I pray not. I pray not, but some would love to snatch it out of our hands right now. No other book on the face of this planet causes the controversy that one out there does. People don't want it. People don't want it. They want all this no church and meeting in one another's houses on Sunday night. You better not shut that church on Sunday night. Amen. I'll come over there and join and help vote you out. Amen. Stick to what you were brought up with. Man, it's an old way, but the Bible said it's a good way. Seek out that old path. Hey, brother, you got some folks that's been around a while and knows how to worship. Amen. You take these folks right here and you build the new ones coming in. And you show them this is how we do it. This is how we roll, and we ain't changing for nobody. You know, one of the neatest things, I'll tell this. Levi came home a couple Sunday nights ago. And actually, it was the day y'all voted him in on Sunday night. And my wife came with him. And she said, during the singing, said, Levi looked at me, and they were playing. They don't have a piano player right now, and they were playing a CD. And it was this same little bunch you heard stand up here singing tonight. Levi said, where'd they get that? Where'd they get that? And after church, he went to, is Brother Eddie, is that the sound man? He went to Brother Eddie and said, where'd you get that CD? He said, his mother gave it to him before she died and told him that was her favorite CD. Brother Frank, how long has your wife been gone? 2 years? 2 years ago, she put that CD in her son's hand and said, this is my favorite CD. So during the offering and stuff, they'll play a song. And Levi told him, told Brother Eddie, said, Brother Eddie, that's me. He said, no. He said, yeah, that's me and my family. Isn't that amazing? Isn't it amazing? Levi's the exact same age I was, Brother Charles, when I came here to be your pastor. Levi, love your wife. Love that book right there. And love these people. Love these people. Listen, God is sending you to Rock Mart not to be their Lord. There's this thing going around the country now. I heard about one preacher. He told the whole church, said, every lady in the book, if you read any kind of novels, I need to proofread that book first. I thought, you're an idiot. You're not their Lord, you're their leader. You're not there to run their homes. You're not there to run their life. You don't have to approve of everything they watch or see or do. Hey, you're not their Lord. You're to lead them. Lead them. If you lead them, you don't have to worry about being Lord over them. You lead them and you love them. You love them. You love them people. Listen, you've watched your daddy over the years. 20-something funerals already this year. You won't never see me at a funeral home without tears in my eyes. Not one time. I've had to preach the funerals over some of your family members that I've never met, but I stood in the funeral home and cried like you did. Why? Because I love my church. I love my church, and you're going to have times when you're going to have to weep with these people, and you can't weep with them if you don't love them. If you don't love them, I'm saying let's call this off right here, stop it right now, and stay here with me. Because if you don't love them, you'll hurt them. And if you don't love them, they'll hurt you. You better make sure, boy. When I came to Happy Valley that first Sunday, it was like a match made in heaven. I'll never forget standing in my pulpit and I put my hand on that stained spot where J.M. stood all those years, Brother Ernie. And it's like that thing was on fire, man. I could feel it burning. I mean, just all, I thought, woohoo, I'm supposed to be right here. For 22 years, I've still been right here. 22 years, we've never had a knockdown drag out. We've loved each other. Calvary, he's loved me through my stupidity. Oh, when I was Levi's age, I didn't have the education he had. He's a little bit sharper knife out of the drawer than I was, but he's still in his 20s. All the stupid ain't gone. Looking back, I can see some of the stupidest decisions I made as a young pastor. They was people I'd run off. I'd give $100 to get back. Just being an idiot. Just being an absolute idiot. Preaching things because it was trendy. Saying hateful and harmful things because it'd get a shout out of a few. Oh, man, you love them people. You let him love you. And y'all love him. And better love her. I know I'm not charging the church, but I can't help it. That's my favorite daughter-in-law right there. Best one I've ever had. Amen. Listen, you're their leader. You're not their Lord. Love the work. Love the people. Love the preaching. Love the preaching. I believe you do. I believe you had as much fun this morning as anybody's ever had standing behind a pulpit. What a message. I'm telling you, church, if you didn't hear that message, you need to get it. Yes, he preached on one greater than Solomon this morning, and whoo, boy. Amen. Good preaching. Amen. Love the preaching. Love the preaching. That's your craft. That's your calling. That's what God called you to do. Listen, there'll be days you've got to counsel. You've got to give advice. There'll be days you've got to go to the hospital, but that's not your calling. Your calling's to preach that book right there. That's number one, more important than any other thing. You'll do the funerals. You'll do the weddings. You'll do all those things that come along with being a pastor. But number one, preach that book. It's the foolishness of preaching. Love your people. Love your preaching. I get to where I don't enjoy my preaching, I'll quit. If I get to where I'm not having a good time when I preach, I mean that. Fellas, if you're not having fun, something's wrong. If you're not having fun at the greatest thing in your life God's given you to do, if you're not enjoying that, something's wrong. I mean, there'll be days it's tough, but you know what I'm saying. Love the preaching. Listen, and I'm done. Practice and protect our old-time religion. Practice and protect our old-time religion. Guard it with your life. Guard them sacred old hymns. Guard that music. Guard the worship. Listen, if it gets to where it's feeling a little bit dead, just shout where you feel like it or not. Amen. That's what my granny used to say. Granny used to say, well, just praise God anyhow. Hey, I guarantee you, say you ain't got to feel like it to shout, because He's worthy of it, whether you felt it or not. Amen. Every now and then, just go, woo! I mean, just let it rip, man. Every now and then, if ain't nobody else going to the altar, you go. Amen. Protect and practice this old-time religion. Son, I'm excited. I'm so excited. I'm not sending you to Rock Martin to build a church. Jesus said, on this rock, I'll build my church. It's His job to build church. You just love the people. And you preach to them. I don't mean this in a hurtful or harmful way. But two things tonight, and I'm done. Number one, I'm glad He ain't in Texas. Brother Eric called me one time and asked me what I thought about that. I said, I'll kill you. Remember the Alamo? At least he's just 30 minutes down the road. And number two, if it don't work, you can always come home.
Amen.
And we're not setting you up to fail. We're not praying for you to fail.
Amen.
We're praying for you to be a success. For God to get honored and glory. I'm praying for revival to sweep through Rock Mart, Georgia. I'm praying as we travel around this country, we'll hear about it. You hear about that church in Rock Mart, Georgia? I'll be able to say, yeah, it's my boy. Amen. Another Sunday morning, the Lord changed my message. And I preached from Jeremiah 33:3. And I talked about those great and mighty things. That's what we're looking for, son. That's what we're looking for. But you never have to worry about coming home. If you fall on your face, you can hold up your head and walk through that door. I love you with all my heart. Well, I know pride's a sin, but I sure am fighting it today. I'm thankful for you. I'm thankful for you, Cora. I believe with all my heart God put exactly what He needed in his life. Exactly. And let the Lord use you. Y'all fixing to grow like you never have grown before.